Welcome to episode 72 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. At the University of Minnesota, a couple of researchers, Michael Travisano and William Rutcliffe, decided to see if they could induce multicellularity in a previously single-celled life form. They used common brewer's yeast. In its original life cycle, this single-celled form of fungus will split into two daughter cells of approximately the same size. They put the yeast in solution, agitated it, gave it time to settle, and then took the yeast from the bottom and used that in new cultures, transferring once a day. This artificially put the yeast under a gravitational selection criteria, meaning that the faster they could settle to the bottom of the sample container, the better their chances of reproducing. What they found is that within 30 days, they had begun to cluster together, form roughly spherical shapes that they dubbed snowballs. Within 60 days, there was evidence of juvenile and adult forms and specialized cells. Instead of reproducing by simply splitting into two, the snowballs would form daughter snowballs, smaller than the parent, that would then break off. And these child snowballs were formed one after the other, rather than having the entire snowball break apart into several smaller ones. The daughter snowballs were always smaller than the parent, and then it would take some time for them to grow before they could start to produce daughter snowballs of their own, demonstrating a juvenile and adult phase. For cellular specialization, we turn to programmed cell death. At first, there was no correlation between the size of the snowballs and the amount of programmed cell death. That was true at about 30 days, but by 60 days in, the larger the snowball, the more programmed cell death occurred. Something had changed. It wasn't just because the snowballs were larger that cells were dying. The organism had found some advantage to deliberately killing some of its own cells. Examining the life cycle of this now multicellular form of yeast, they found that the daughter snowballs always broke off from an area that was attached by a couple of dead cells. The organism had learned how to kill cells strategically in order to allow the daughter snowballs to break off. There was an interesting trade-off between the size of the offspring and their growth rates. If they were too large, their growth rate was slow. As the snowball parent got larger, over time, over several successive generations, the daughter snowballs got proportionally smaller. Even though they increased in size overall, the percentage of their size compared to their parent was smaller. This multicellular form of yeast that was developing had found the optimal trade-off between growth rate and offspring size, and it did it, as I said, by strategically having some of the cells die in order to allow the budding to occur. It's striking that such a simple selection criteria could make such a change in the behavior of the organism. When they took snowballs and put them in their own culture and bred them without selecting for gravitation, they never returned to the single-cell form. The researchers were making no attempt to come up with any sort of natural selection criteria. They were actually most interested in something that would be easy to do experimentally. But it's not too difficult to come up with scenarios that would match their artificial selection criteria. One can imagine, say, a sheltered bay somewhere where there's a bit of a current that stirs up the sediment. And those creatures which are able to cluster into a multicellular form could stay in the ooze and eat the food there happily, while those that were too light would get pushed out of the bay. This scenario would provide the same sort of selection as the experiment. The material pushed out of the bay would not necessarily die. Indeed, it might continue as a single-celled strain out in the open ocean, leaving behind the multicellular form, which would cause a form of speciation, where original strains of an organism would develop two different body plans and two different strategies for survival for two different environments. The other thing this experiment demonstrates is that sometimes evolutionary changes can happen very rapidly. This is unfortunate for anyone who's trying to trace the history of evolution on this planet. Intermediate life forms may never occur within the fossil record. It may just happen too quickly. And so, once again, pieces of the puzzle are missing. It only took 2 months from a single-celled organism to a multicellular organism. One can argue that there is an advantage to being a single-celled organism. Single-celled organisms outnumber multicellular organisms, both on the individual level and in sheer biomass. We're outnumbered, outweighed, arguably outcompeted. But multicellular life occurred and persists to this day. Next time, the best of both worlds.